And now the part of our show where we invite people who have seen and done great things to do one more, to play our Not My Job game. Silicon Valley, they make software. Wall Street makes financial crises. Dayton, Ohio makes indie rock superstars. For example, to take one of many, Dayton is where a high school cheerleader some years ago named Kim DeDeal formed the Breeders and then went on to play with the Pixies, one of the great indie bands of all time. She joins us now to play our game. Kim DeDeal, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Thank you, panelists. Thank you.
It's great to have you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay. So, I want to confess something to you. This will come as a big surprise, but I grew up listening mainly to Broadway musicals. So I don't know. I missed out on the whole sort of indie thing. So assuming our audience, at least some portion of them, is somewhat like them, tell us about the Pixies.
They've got to be more help than that, I think.
Yeah, I hope so.
Probably, yeah.
Possibly be less. But my understanding is the Pixies were like the Velvet Underground were in the 60s. Like, you were like the band that all the other bands wanted to be like.
The quote, I think the Velvet Underground thing is that they weren't well known to regular people, but people who listened to them started their own bands.
Right, and that's what I thought of about the Pixies,
I think,
right?
So, yeah. I've heard that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about you. You grew up in Dayton, right?
Yeah.
Dayton, Ohio. You were a cheerleader.
Yes.
Were you like the quintessential, like, rebellious rock and roll kid? Were you like wearing black leather, and which would make the cheerleading hard because black leather is not stretchy?
No.
All right. Well, so now you get out of here. You get out of Dayton, and, mm-hmm. and you go to. And I understand you walked in on an audition for the Pixies. You're like, yeah, you'll do.
It wasn't actually an audition.
What was it?
I had been in Boston for like a week.
Yeah.
I had married somebody, and he lived there, so I went and moved to Charlestown with him. And the paper was in the back of the Boston Phoenix in the ads, and it said something about, "We're, you know, if you like Husker Du, Peter, Paul, and Mary." And it was more like...
Wait a minute. If you like Husker Du and Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I like.
Husker Du, great Minneapolis indie band. Mm-hmm. Incomprehensible, loud, fast, hardcore punk music.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Harmony,
sweet, Puff the Magic Dragon, I Had a Hammer.
Right.
How do they intersect?
But they're
what
really
does that
both.
Mean?
That's. I think it sounds great, you know.
But it's great because it weeded out everybody but you.
Exactly.
I love that.
I was the only one who answered the ad. And there was Charles and Joe, and Charles had a guitar. It wasn't actually an audition. Actually, it was more like he showed me the songs, you know.
And Charles, by the way, when you say Charles, you mean the person that the world knows as Frank Black.
Yes, or Black Francis. I think he's gone back to that one.
Yeah, what's with the fake names?
I don't know.
You had some fake names.
I wasn't fake. I was Mrs. John Murphy. I had lost my identity.
Oh, I see.
I got married, and I lost my identity, and I referred to myself as Mrs. John Murphy.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Then I got a divorce, and it wasn't funny anymore.
No.
So but that's hilarious.
If you're living in Charlestown, and your name is Mrs. John Murphy, you really have lost your identity. Because
exactly.
There's only about 9,000 of them in the phone book.
Exactly, yeah.
So here comes the Pixies, and can you try to explain your popularity and your success?
We weren't popular at the
time.
You weren't popular. No, we weren't popular at the time at all, no.
What was life like being in a seminal but underappreciated punk rock
band? It was fine. It was great. I thought we were huge, you know.
Because you were playing in front of 80 people, all of whom were stoned.
Right, exactly. Okay. Really. And yeah, and they actually knew the words and stuff. That was freaky when
we
that started
happening.
We had that
experience, happening. People saying the words and stuff.
Yeah.
Like So tell me about your life now. That you've been through the excess, the indie rock, but now you're in Dayton. You're back home.
Yeah. I live with my mom and dad.
Yeah?
Yeah, in Dayton. I've been back there since, 2003. I lived there steady with them at their house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it hard to leave the rock and roll lifestyle behind?
Do you mean the drugs or the touring?
I guess when I think rock and roll lifestyle, I don't think living with their parents in Dayton. Maybe that's just me. Maybe everybody does. Maybe Sting lives with his parents in Dayton.
Actually,
I don't know.
that's what's so weird about it. The rock and roll, when the Pixies were doing all that work in Boston, we were actually rehearsing at David Lovering's mom and dad's house in their garage, and she would bring out sandwiches and cookies for us. And that's where we wrote Surfer Rosa and most of Doolittle. So it is, that actually is more like the
really?
Rock and roll lifestyle for me.
Do you think you can do the rock and roll without the drugs?
I've been doing it, yeah.
And how's it going?
It was really, anything was weird without the drugs.
Sure.
It was stunning not drinking.
Yeah.
I was so awkward. It was socially awkward. Still am, but, you know, I'm used to it now, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, because I'm high as a kite right now. Could not do this show if I wasn't.
The NPR lifestyle.
It's crazy. Yeah,
right. You know, I keep thinking, this is a really impertinent question, but could you remember one of your cheers from cheerleading days?
Yes. Well, I remember the Wayne High School from Heber Heights, the Wayne High School, but I don't know all the words. I went the Wayne High team off of the line. We're going to win this game another time. For the dear old school we love so well. We're going to something, we'll yell. And we will fight for every game. And put our standards high for dear old Wayne. And we will throw old Stebbin on the side. Rah, rah.
Hey!
Whoa!
Touchdown, Kim!
One last question. Rock and roll is and always has been something primarily about youth. Youthful rebellion, the kids. Oh, the kids are all right. What are those kids listening to? Mm-hmm. Neither of us are kids anymore.
No. Mm-hmm.
Can you still summon the spirit of rock and roll when we are, shall we say,
I think so, but nobody wants to see it.
Well, Kim Deal, we are delighted to have you here with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Breeders? You call that breeding? I'll tell you about breeding.
So you're in a band called the Breeders, but judging from what we know of your career, you didn't really mean it. I mean, you didn't actually do much breeding on stage, did you? So we're going to ask you three questions about breeding, real breeding, in the animal world.
Mm.
Get two questions right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Kim Deal playing for?
Kim is playing for the Honorable Judge Walter H. Rice of Dayton, Ohio.
Are you ready to play? First question. Giant squids. Female giant squids mate once in their lifetime because, as it turns out, male squids are really bad at it. Do they, are so self-conscious about the light that they always go down to the deepest, darkest part of the ocean where they often lose their mates before they can actually get it going? B, it's that their aim is terrible. Researchers observe one male miss his female target and instead, to put it gently, try to impregnate himself. Or C, they're incredibly easy to distract. They leave in the middle to go chase shiny objects.
Oh, well, I
And know. That differs from men, how?
I know. Please.
See, I would think that it would be C, but I'm supposed to pick the craziest which one.
You're supposed to pick whatever one you want.
A. Mm. I'm going to go C.
You're going to go see the shiny object? Squid's like, hey, honey, and it's like, oh, what's that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Sports Center.
Exactly.
It's too normal.
No, actually, it was B, their bad aim.
Oh. Yeah. Mm.
That one male who managed to do to himself what he was hoping to do to his mate, it turns out he got his romantic advice on the floor of the Senate from Dick Cheney.
Whoa.
He was like, well, sounds good to me, he said. All right.
I was wondering if it might not have been at the female squid suggestion.
Possible.
Because the shiny object went by just prior to that.
Next question. You have two more chances here. The female anglerfish has a unique mating strategy. What is it? A, she just absorbs the male and makes use of him whenever she wants. B, she insists the male bring her gifts like piles of dead water bugs. Or C, when the female angler wants to mate, she bites the male's tail, which means essentially, swim me to your place.
Mm. A.
You're going to go for A, she just absorbs the male?
I'd like to think that it can be true.
It is true!
Yes. Yes.
So first, you see, scientists couldn't figure out why they never observed any male anglerfish. And then they realized the male was actually part of the female. And that's when she wants to, you know, she just sort of scratches the bump and said, hey, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you got male.
Yeah, basically. By the way, yes, the absorbed and captive angler does get badly teased by his single male friends.
Yeah.
All right, this is exciting. I love when this happens. You've got one to go. If you get this one right, you win it all. Okay. For the judge.
Kim, your parole may be on the line here, so...
Pandas have a lot of trouble reproducing in captivity, but that's not the only reason. It was a tremendous success and surprise when a Chinese panda named Jinju gave birth to twins in 2007. What was so remarkable about it? A, Jinju, known in zoological circles as the world's fattest panda, was not observed to be pregnant to begin with. B, she had never been observed mating, prompting claims of an immaculate cubception. or C, her keepers, for the 4 years that they had her, thought that she was a male.
So they told jokes around her that they never should.
Does that explain anything, though?
See? I don't know. I don't know if there's any more metaphorical. Well, I mean, it was a big surprise, is what I'm saying. They were so surprised, and that's why it was a surprise.
C.
Yes!
Yeah.
All right.
You did it!
Good.
They thought
Good.
The panda was a male.
Good.
Which speaks to a certain lack of observation skills among the zookeepers. Carl, how did Kim Deal do on our quiz?
Well, Kim had two correct answers, Peter, so she wins for Judge Walter H. Rice.
Good for you. Good for the judge. Thanks. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Kim Deal is an indie rock icon. She's the founder of the Breeders, a member of the Pixies. Kim Deal, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.